Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You never really know someone until you find out what they've buried. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Lori Vallow Daybell, or as she likes to just be called now, Lori Daybell, because she's standing by her man. She was in court just the other day playing the role of her own attorney. Pause for comical relief, which is exactly what it was. Even her own son laughing about her appearance in court, Colby Ryan on his YouTube channel, just basically stating, you know, this is horrible. His own siblings were murdered. But at this point, you neither cry or laugh because it's getting so out of hand. Such a circus as Lori Daybell attempts to represent herself against murder charges in Arizona. Joining me to discuss the circus that it is and pretty much always has been, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. Reaction to Lori Vallow Daybell's first appearance the other week as her own attorney.
Well, I got to tell you, Tony, you and I have gone back and forth whether she's really cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs with all of her religious, thought processes and excuses. And I've always said that this is just absolute ruse for doing whatever she wanted to do. And to me, that hearing put the needle back over on my side, Tony, but I want to hear your side of it. I mean, you could see she's absolutely lucid. She absolutely knows what she's doing. She's looking up case law. She's trying to make her points about, you know, discovery and what she's entitled to. And you know, she is bright. She knows what she's doing. And it was all just orchestrated to get what she wanted. I'm sticking with that. And now we see it more than ever.
I don't know. After seeing her in court the other day, I kind of feel the other way. I know we both like dig in on this. It's one of the few things we disagree on, but it's to me, seeing her in court the other day just further proved to me how out there she is. I don't think she has any clue what the hell's going on. She knows she's on trial. She knows she has to represent herself. Her focus was on her extradition for whatever reason, and the judge calling her out on that saying, what's your point? But the fact that she still digs into this without a whole lot of, I don't know. I don't think she understands what's going on. I think she can function normally, but when it comes to talking about the murders of anyone or any of her wrongdoing, I think it's almost like if we're watching a television show and something is blurred out, it's right there to everybody else that we're seeing. In real life, it's there. But Lori's like watching it through a camera, and those things seem to be blurred out for her. And I don't know that she has the ability to unblur them and to actually see them. So I don't think she then operates as if they're real. That's kind of how I feel. I don't know that this is a ruse anymore. If it is, best actress ever. I mean, my God.
Right. But look at her. I mean, she was making some very interesting points. She's obviously got every law book in the prison in her cell, looking up all these obscure laws and things, and trying to make them applicable to her situation.
What points was she making the other day? I didn't get that she made any point the other day other than arguing about extradition.
In the hearing I saw, she was arguing about discovery initially.
Yes, yeah, that was initially in there. But again, the discovery that was given to her was the grand jury testimony. And it was like, here it is. This is what's going on. And she didn't seem to grasp what that meant or what the gravity of that context was or what the content of the grand jury testimony is. Or is she playing stupid? Is she like, I know what that means, but I'm just going to pretend it doesn't exist?
Well, I kind of liked her point. I think her point was, hey, you've given me whatever it was, 109,000 pages or whatever. But she said, however, there isn't other information that I'm seeking, and I'm seeking it because I want to impeach people. Mm-hmm. And that should also be made available to me. So don't put me in a box with just, you know, the information that implicates me. How about information that could disclose a Brady violation or a Giglio violation, you know, by impeaching the investigation? I mean, look at Karen Reed's done this perfectly, right?
But she has good attorneys.
Yeah. Well, she's trying to make that point, though. She tried to make that point, and that shows me she's totally on this, seeing that this is a possible avenue that at least she wants to explore and give me the discovery to look at possible issues. In other words, not just the cases that, or not just the facts that specifically involve her in the conspiracy, but she wants to see the whole enchilada. Mm-hmm. And that's her point. And my point is, somebody who is cuckoo isn't going to be operating like that, right? Mm-hmm. They're in their fantasy world. They think they've done everything right. They think they were divinely inspired by God, and that. And I could see her more getting up there and saying, listen, and talking about God and the Bible or something. No, that isn't what she's doing. She's actually brought up, I thought, an interesting point.
But are we going to see that Lori come out in the trial? Is she, I mean, because it seems that she takes context, at least she did in the last trial, of reality, and then somehow running it through her prism. And then you hear like recognition of the actual case and the charges, but she somehow then believes some fantastical thing, like the kids are working at the Dairy Queen in heaven now. It's always some sort of weird way of running it through her mind on the other side. So I'm wondering, once she does get the information, are we going to see the doomsday mom back up there on trial? And is she going to use it more as a way to preach to people, to get attention to what she believes is her cause? Or are we going to see a very legally inspired Lori that is trying to argue the merits of the case and not necessarily something super fantastical?
Well, that's in the hearing, although short, that's what I thought she was going to be, possibly would be fantastical, but she wasn't. I mean, at least she tried. Remember, she's not a lawyer. She's mm-hmm. never spent a day in law school, or she's not a cop. She, you know, this is way out in left field. She's learning as she goes, and considering she's learning as she goes, I thought she did an okay job representing herself, and it certainly wasn't out there in la-la land. Maybe her arguments were from a legal standpoint, mm-hmm. but what she was trying to do wasn't.
Sure. I understand what you're saying. The arguments were insane, but the mechanics, the way she was trying to do it did make some sense. But that's going to be a big challenge for her when she actually gets to court, when she gets to the actual trial, because there's means and methods of doing things. There's ways of presenting evidence. There's ways of examining. There's ways of questioning. And you have to follow the rules. You can't just do whatever mm-hmm. you feel. And this was just a hearing. I don't have a whole lot of confidence that this isn't going to be a constant, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that, and objection, 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 once this thing actually does make it to trial. And how are they going to move through a trial with someone like that, who just truly is not going to ever grasp the basic rules of law and how our court system works and how trials are conducted?
Well, we saw that a little bit with Sarah Boone, right?
Yeah.
Except for, at least Sarah Boone said, I can't do this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying the best I can. I will say there were a couple of moments with Lori Vallow Daybell where she almost was kid-like.
Yeah.
I don't know if these jumped out at you, but I'll give you one example that just jumped out was, you know, oh, geez, my glasses, I can't see a thing without them, I think is what she said, words to that effect. And she did kind of buzz out into this sort of innocence, you know, almost childlike a couple of times where she would buzz in and out, like, aren't I cute, everybody? That I did find interesting. But still, she clearly was trying to keep it in our century and wasn't in la-la land for the most part. As I said, not her legal points maybe, but her intention.
I hear you on that. When I was listening to it, it reminded me of like a 13 or a 14 year old girl trying to argue with their parents. But this over here, and very flustered, very kind of not quite knowing, I'm going to say this and see if it sticks or see if this works. You know, it reminded me of my own daughter to a certain extent. You know, or you know, any teenage girl around that age, or boy, it just an kind of unconfident but overconfident way of thinking that is so mixed and goes from left to right so quickly. Deer in the headlights is really kind of what it felt like to me in court. And I'm wondering, you know, maybe a couple reps, a couple more hearings, maybe she'll get a little more confident in this role, and maybe we'll see a very different Lori Daybell. You know, one thing is for certain, when she believes in her convictions, she's all in. So if she believes that she's this attorney and she can do this, I don't think we're going to see a very shy Lori when it comes to trial. I think we're going to see a very bold Lori, but one that has no understanding of the rules and direction of how a trial works.
Well, you look at even any trial, right? If you go on Law and Crime or Court TV and you watch these trials, look at how much trouble true litigators that do this for a living even have issues. Sure. I'm not talking about the best of the best, like a Brennan or a AJ. I'm talking about just your average Joe, how especially in state trials, they're, you know, oh gosh, I forgot this, or oh judge, I need to look at this. And those are people who are very well versed in the law and have a lot of experience. So for her, I mean, it's just impossible to represent yourself. That's what I think. I think it's going to come down to a situation where she's going to have other representation. But remember this too, Tony, right? One minute she was saying she's nuts. Remember that? They were testing her for whether she was going to be competent to even stand trial. And then she said, oh, no, I'm not only competent, now I can be my own attorney.
I know.
So she flips like a fish out of water.
Yeah, exactly. So I think also kind of points to she's not competent to stand trial because she can go from one to the other so quickly. Let's talk one more thing about this Chad Daybell. Obviously, we haven't heard from him in a long time, and we probably won't. He's away for the rest of his life, and we'll see where that all ends up with the death penalty and such. But the fact that at the very beginning of the trial, Lori said to the judge when he introduced her as Lori Vallow Daybell, I want it changed to just Lori Daybell. Can we change that in the paperwork? I'm paraphrasing. But she was very specific. Wants the Vallow out of there. No more of that. Wants to just be Lori Daybell. Chad threw her under the bus in his trial, or at least his attorneys did, as he sat there like a oaf. What's your thoughts on that? I mean, are they communicating? Are they able to communicate behind bars, or is this just still part of Lori's delusion, waiting for the second coming and the giant party in Rexburg with Chad?
Well, I think I see it as a couple of things. First of all, I see herself wanting to distance herself even from the name Vallow, from the victim. I think that's a big part of it. If it seems like she's completely separate and devoted to her most recent husband, I think that somehow she thinks that that might play better. The other thing is, I truly believe that she has some affinity for Chad Daybell still to this day. It just never seemed to waver in everything we saw. Did you see that Daybell has motioned for the death penalty to be off the table?
I have not seen that yet, but it does not surprise me.
Yeah, I've seen that. I don't know what all is going to come of it, but it's interesting. I think that, you know, that horse done left the barn. I guess it, I mean, what does it hurt when you're facing that, you know, to try to get it completely off the table? I was pretty confused about that.
It's just interesting to see that she's thinking that the name Daybell is a positive. I don't, and I get exactly what you're saying. But I don't think that's a great legal move. I would think you'd want to be moving away from Chad and maybe more to your former self, where you were just, you know, Lori the mom over here, Lori Vallow, with a bunch of husbands behind you and a lot of poor decisions in your wake, but not a lot of murders yet. Just Daybell has Chad attached. And we heard everything from Chad and how horrible that was. So it doesn't seem like she's going to go down any path in this next chapter, in this next trial, of pointing any blame that way. If she were to, I would think that she wouldn't want Daybell in there at all.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Like I said, she just seems to stay. I have to say, she's staying true to him.
Yeah,
I've never really seen her waver. And this is a really strong point that she brings up. Of course, it's not in front of the jury, mm-hmm. but she's making it clear, I want to be Lori Daybell, and I'm sure the judge is probably going to let her do it.
Yeah. Are they allowed to, I mean, I don't know if you know the answer to this. Can they communicate at all right now? I mean, they are a married couple still.
Yes.
So they're able to.
I'm sorry. Sometimes between co-defendants, there are rules that you can't. Mm-hmm. But I have not seen any paperwork saying that. I know sometimes they will do motions and you're not allowed. You don't want your co-conspirators ever to be in communication with each other. But that has to be typically a motion. I would assume that they've done it, but I haven't seen one.
That'd be interesting, because I do wonder if Chad wants to have any communication with her, considering how that all ended. But it sure seems like Lori's probably up for it.
Yeah, Lori seems like she's up for it. It's such an interesting question you bring up, because typically, they're not allowed to communicate. But I haven't seen the paperwork, and I am curious because it seems like he's still very important to her.
Be very interesting to get a FOIA request and find those phone calls if they actually exist. That would be entertaining and disturbing all at the same time.
Yes.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk. Ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.